What is up, everyone? This is Press X to Start Podcast. We here at Press X seek to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved and protected point of view. Restorative justice for the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. I, today, am your host, DJ, a.k.a.
Sexy Bad Choices.
A.k.a. I ain't got nothing to say. It's snowing outside. It's kind of nice.
It's cold.
I'm probably going to go do a little snowman after this.
See,
we'll see how that
you
goes.
Made a transaction with one of those what do they call from Game of Thrones?
White Walkers. Is that what we're calling them now? Wow, that is racist. Wait,
I mean it's like snow is white, so like they walk in the snow, so like White Walkers. I mean, it's a pretty juvenile name for them. Aether Elves would have been better, actually.
Aether Elves. Okay. I actually kind of like that.
Well, you just heard a snowmobile just ride past my
They just clip your
window.
Car.
Yeah.
Screaming obscenities.
Clearly, DJ has no property in which he has to shovel off or anything because he likes the fucking snow. You don't got to shovel no driveway.
Yeah, yeah, very small driveway.
Here's the thing. I have a driveway, and right now there's like no snow on it, so I'm not exactly sure what magic's happening right now. But
I'm okay still, with your car is parked in the driveway. You just got to shovel around a bit.
This is true. This is true. Mm-hmm. If this is what global warming is, then I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it.
Hilarious. I am Sean MF Ross.
What the MF stand
for?
Mysterious Force.
Whoa.
Oh, that's nice.
Are you a Jedi?
you sound like a grandma. Oh, that's nice.
Is that what the kids do nowadays?
And it's your boy, Jordan, a.k.a. JX Buck, a.k.a. Jordan, formerly of Raventhorpe, a.k.a. Jordan Tetris, I guess. I don't know. Or Jordan 47.
Why didn't you go with the Jordan effect?
No.
Because he's not cool. He's not quick on his feet like that.
You know what? I'm not.
He needs an executive order.
I would think about comebacks like 3 hours later.
You got the stairway effect. I forget. I don't know how to say it in French, but
Oh, we talking French now? Damn. Okay.
Anyway.
Yes.
I have been playing well, we're going to get off to what we've been playing.
Hey, Sean. What you been playing?
I went back to Astro's Playroom to go platinum it, which was
really
actually very easy. Yeah,
I heard it was.
I just had to do a few things that I missed.
Hmm.
You know.
Interesting.
The hardest part might have been they had like these timed portions toward the end where you wanted to get like on average. There was like 8 stages and on average you had to complete them all within 7 minutes, so each stage you had to complete on average like 50 okay. seconds. Yeah, you had to like rush through it.
I heard of that before, like in the podcast I listened to. They're saying like you can compete with other people, like time trial.
Yeah, our friend of the show, Ramir, his wife keeps on beating my time. I feel like I need to go roll up to his house and throw some eggs at it, but you know.
That's hilarious.
Or maybe take the PlayStation back. I mean, this is how you're paying me. I secure a PS5 for him and he's out here beating my records. What the hell is going on here?
Take care of your children instead of beating my record.
But I wanted to platinum it just to, you know, finish it and get it off my system to, you know, conserve space.
True.
Until they release the specs or approve, you know, the hard drive expansions.
Yeah, I heard it was tight on that side of the fence.
It's getting there, and it's only because I installed Call of Duty. But that shit is up off my console now.
Call of Duty requires 2 consoles.
Yeah, like, this shit is, I want to say, over 200 gigabytes, maybe 3. And that's just Cold War.
That is so ridiculous.
I mean, it's not optimized, right?
And then when you're on the screen, it's split into thirds. So Cold War is first, Warzone is in the middle, and you know, last year's Modern Warfare. So you can actually, I guess if you have this loaded up and you have all the other ones downloaded, you can still play it from this one disc or this one file.
Wow.
Like you don't have to leave that screen. It'll jump between them or something. It'll transition somehow. I don't know. But that would literally take up your whole PlayStation. Even if it was a PlayStation Pro or like Xbox One, you know, with your 1 terabyte, I think this would take up your entire storage.
That'd be a Call of Duty hard disk.
The thing, I mean, like, you're still able to at least if I'm not mistaken, on PS5, like you can have a Seagate attached via USB, but it won't be a solid state drive.
No,
you can't.
You cannot load any. Well, you know, okay. Let me clear it up. You can offload your PS5 games, I believe, to a hard drive, but when you try to play them, it will transfer it back to the system
itself. Oh, yeah. No, that's... Yeah,
see, at the moment, you cannot play off of a hard drive unless it's a PS4 game.
Right.
An external hard drive.
On a Series X, I'm playing a whole bunch of games off my hard drive and only having like those games that are optimized for Series X on the console. That's how I've split the... Damn.
I mean, I may do that, but I mean, I don't often go backwards, so... The backwards compatibility wasn't a huge thing for me. Didn't really care for it all that much.
Yeah. But it's like so many like PS4 games that you can still play, right?
Hey man, I move forward.
Sean play PS4 games now.
I move forward like Obama. I'm here for change, man.
I'm like I'm looking at like 120 Xbox One applications. I'm not gonna just throw into the trash can.
You out here trying to make Generation 7 great again? And I'm out here
Generation
trying to march 8, forward.
My guy.
Jordan,
Generation
what you, what
7,
forget
whatever.
Is that Sony is all about generations?
They're all
there
about
is no
generations.
Going backwards.
So unless everything on PS4 is trash.
Horizon.
So no. Moving back to Call of Duty,
which is a PS4 game on PS5.
We've gone off on a tangent. No, I'm playing the PS5 version, but I get what you're saying. But this was a struggle to get through. Fortunately, it was not a long story, but I didn't give one good goddamn about this.
Don't spoil it.
Story. Like,
I'm about to play it.
I'm not gonna spoil it. You know,
go for
this
it. Go
technically
for it.
Isn't a spoiler.
Spoiler alert!
No.
All right,
whatever.
Are you gonna
Jordan,
play?
You gonna play Cold War?
Yes, I'm gonna play Cold War. I'm gonna play every Call of Duty. I'm not.
Wait, okay.
Not
ultimate.
When are you gonna play, Jordan? Hmm? Isn't your backlog like 4 years now?
2 years.
Jordan, by the time you get to it, you're gonna forget this part. All I'm gonna say is there is no point in creating. They have you create a protagonist, and they let you choose your skin tone. And at the end of the day, it makes no fucking sense for you to choose your skin tone because you're Russian. Why?
Wait. Okay, I did not know that. So, okay, well.
It, I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, that's not really a huge story-breaking thing because, I mean, you can be from anywhere. You know, right. After World War II, whatever the hell, you know, people moved all around. Yeah. And, you know, they recruited people from all over the world. All I'm saying is, it makes no fucking sense for you to be a dark-skinned black Russian.
So,
what the fuck?
Remember, there was another Black Ops that allowed you to, quote-unquote, customize your person. That was Black Ops 3, but yeah, that was it didn't really impact
the
story.
Specifically for this story,
mm-hmm.
It just didn't matter.
When you get to it, it's going to piss you off.
Yeah,
I mean, it pissed me off.
Okay.
Along with the fact that your character doesn't voice any...
actual
you know,
lines.
Voice any lines that he says, yeah.
That's kind of sucks.
It's
so, Sean.
It had a few okay parts, huh?
I was gonna say, what else have you been playing?
I played the PlayStation 5 newly released version of Mobile Suit Gundam Battle Operation 2.
All right, well, this has been another episode of Press X Star Podcast, guys. Hope you enjoyed it.
What's wrong, DJ? What's going on?
I'm salty. That's what's wrong.
Why are you salty, DJ? Talk to us, buddy.
Well, I'll let you finish, and then I'll talk to y'all about my
All I did was the tutorials again because mm-hmm. I had to remember how to play. I didn't want to jump online and just get swept away. Just get, you know. So I it does support the
haptic
adaptive
triggers.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure really about the haptic feedback. But once again, you know, I was fighting against bots.
Mm-hmm.
I will say after playing Call of Duty and after playing mobile, you know, Gundam, after you play a game with their adaptive triggers, it is hard to go back.
Okay.
Because on Call of Duty, there's some slight resistance, of course, so you can rest your hand on the trigger and then actually squeeze in like a real trigger when you're ready.
Yeah.
So I was playing Apex Legends. And I just rested my finger on the trigger and started just spraying my gun. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. My mistake. Didn't mean to give away our position. So, I mean, at first I felt like I was at a disadvantage,
mm-hmm.
I guess. when I first played it because I was, you know, expecting to just tap the trigger and shoot.
Yeah.
And it has gotten me killed a few times playing Call of Duty. To the point where it's a major adjustment because you have to squeeze it so hard, they end up pressing in the right stick and meleeing at people from a far, far distance. And they're just like looking at me like a dumbass because I'm knifing the air in front of them.
I'll take this. I'll take that.
yeah. But past that, I always implore everyone to at least add to your library or redeem even the Xbox Live Gold games, games with gold, or the PlayStation Plus games, because they have some gems in there that you probably would not spend your money on, but once you play it, you're like, man, this is kind of dope. I wish, you know,
yeah,
I wish I would have, you know, I would have never paid attention to this, but I actually like this game. I am playing Maneater, the Shark game, the PS5 version specifically, because that was free for PlayStation Plus, which, by the way, listeners, you can redeem PlayStation 5 games if you have PlayStation Plus, even if you do not own a PlayStation 5 yet. You can redeem it through the app or through the website.
I need to do that.
But
before February comes.
Yeah. I finished Call of Duty and I was looking for something to play and I was like, let me start up Maneater. And I have not been able to put this game down since.
Interesting.
It is strangely addicting. You start out as a shark pup.
No, God! No, God, please, no!
You know what? This isn't huge spoilers. This isn't a super narrative-driven story game. You start out as a regular shark, and they have this... I don't want to call him French. He sounds like he's from New Orleans.
Yeah.
Scaly Pete. He talk like this, and, you know, shark gonna do what shark gonna do. He just talks kind of funny. And
it's like a New Orleans thing, right?
Yeah, you start out as a big shark, and you get caught by Scaly Pete, and he guts you, and apparently the shark was pregnant.
Lord.
And he pulls out the baby shark, and he's holding it, and he slices it just to leave a mark on it for when he's going to hunt it later. And baby shark wasn't about that shit, so he bit off his hand and jumped back into the ocean. So you basically start out as a baby pup shark, and you grow through the stages as a teen, an adult,
yeah,
an elder, and all the way up to a megalodon shark.
Ooh, megalodon.
And everything has a level in here. So, you know, they have level 1 turtles, level 1 groupers, clownfish.
It's an RPG.
All that good stuff. Yeah, they call it a shark PG.
They're so creative.
And it's funny how you start out as level 1, and the first big predator you find is an alligator, and you learn to fucking run away from them like they're school bullies.
You respect like, the levels Assassin's Creed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. At first. I mean, until you actually learn like the timing of everything. But at first, those alligators are fucking you up. They're like level 8, and they like to gang up on you. And it's a... It turns from a, oh god, here, take my lunch money, into a, what the fuck you say to me? Come here, bitch.
What level are you right now?
And you just, 23. The max level is 30.
Oh my gosh.
When did
you start playing this?
I'd have to look.
Okay.
Midweek.
Oh, okay.
It's only been a couple days. You can finish this in a week.
Yeah, it's not a long
game. More likely.
Yeah,
they say the story is about maybe 8 hours, roughly. And they have different sections that you swim through. You can collect... They have collectibles, so each fish you eat gives you different type of protein or mutagens and what have you. You can collect trash that people throw into the, you know, like license plates, and they have different locales for you to visit.
Okay.
And it's all narrated as if it's a reality show, so the narrator kind of tells jokes and stuff.
That's interesting. Are the jokes funny?
They're corny. Some of them are funny. They have little Easter eggs. Like, I don't know if... God damn, this is for the older crowd. So, anybody younger has probably never seen the movie Demolition Man, but they know about the three shells. Yeah, they reference the three shells in here.
Yep.
But ultimately, you are, you know, eating humans, eating different fish. You can level up. Like, once I level up the first time, I was like, oh, okay. I like this game. Because you can equip different sets of armor and what have you to your shark. So you have a bone set. You got a shadow set. I think you have a bioelectric, you know, powers and all that. Strange shit like that. I think I'm going to platinum this game, though. I'm going to finish it this week.
Cool.
And then probably move on to something else. But this game is a surprising gem. You know what? I think I'm going to finish it by the time Destruction All-Stars comes out.
Wow. Mm. That's next week.
Yeah. That's why I said you need to go redeem this now. But that's all I've been playing.
Jeez. Yeah, a lot going on there.
Less than last week.
I know.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah. So on the flip side, normally I'd be talking about how great Gundam is and so on and so forth. But unfortunately,
isn't it great, DJ?
Only one of us got to play Gundam for this week, Sean, because Mobile Suit Gundam Battle Operations 2 launches on PS5 January 28th. And that will go down as the day that this game burned down for the PS4 version. So apparently,
what do you mean, DJ?
So apparently, some kind of bug or whatever came about from having the PS5 version out at the same time as PS4. So the North American PS4 client just does not work. Like, you can get into the hub area, you can do all the single player stuff, but when you come to actually matchmaking with other people, it just doesn't work. So. So every day I
think I might play some Gundam later.
Yes, I think you should, Sean. Keep playing.
Hey, I'll stream it so you can watch me play horribly, DJ, and get upset. Like, what the fuck are you doing? No, why would you do that?
So instead of playing Gundam, I did a couple other things. I started actually working on that Gundam model that I got like months ago at this point. And then I actually started watching Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin, which is the telling of Char Annabelle's story. If you know who Char is the Red Comet, the Zeon pilot who always has like the red colored mobile suits. He's pretty dope. The other thing that I did was I was trying to figure out a game to play, and I thought about it, and I was like, I don't really have anything else to play. And I looked at my XMB bar, and I was like, oh, yeah, Greedfall. Yeah. So I ended up playing Ghost of Tsushima.
Why don't you just delete Greedfall, man?
Yeah, one day I'll come back to it. But today's not that day. So I started New Game Plus, and... It's one of those times where, you know, I was kind of doing the whole relaxed gamer thing. So I was kind of sitting back and just riding on my horse. And so when you start the game in New Game Plus, they pretty much change a little bit of the beginning. So you don't actually have to go through the whole cutscene of escaping out into the wild or whatever. It kind of starts you off there. And then you also get introduced to this, he's like, he's mute. He can't really talk, but he's like a vendor that basically sells you all the new stuff. Mm. So one of the new charms is if you sneak into a base or whatever, and you find like a dog, if you sneak up on the dog, you can pet the dog and actually have the dog become your companion. And like the dog will stealth with you and will do all the other like crazy stuff. So that was like really dope. And I was like, oh, this is actually giving me incentive to play this game again. So I sat down and started playing this game again. And I am really enjoying the experience. So, yeah. So just to go back to present story, I was actually playing the game and I was doing the whole relaxed gamer thing while I was sitting back in the chair. And I encountered like three dudes inside a row. And I was like, all right, I'll go take them. And the like second dude hit me like twice. And I was like, oh, wait, what's up with this? So I kind of sat up and I was just like, yeah, OK. Like the difficulty is increased in New Game Plus just like a little bit. So I actually did like medium plus. So depending on how this goes and how long I actually play this, I may like increase the difficulty as I get more comfortable with the mechanics again.
You should have waited to play it on the PS5. Apparently they increased the frame rate.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like Ghost is going to be my my Dragon's Dogma, where I'm probably going to play it again, like after I play it and most likely beat it this time. Yeah. But yeah, that was pretty much it for what I've been playing. And then Jordan?
I'm still messing around with Xbox Game Pass. I know the Tetris Effect was on there. It's been there for a minute. I just never got around to playing it. But also, they've added all of the Yakuza games on there, except for 6, which you have to buy. But Yakuza 0 through 5 is currently on Xbox Game Pass. So, downloaded them. They're on my hard drive. But I will be, I think next weekend I'll probably be playing a whole bunch of more games because of, you know, the changes in circumstances, so.
I wish I would have bought this when it was on sale, but I was lazy. Because apparently Tetris Effect you can play in VR.
You could.
On the PS4. And they said it was pretty awesome and kind of trippy and hallucinogenic.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I was about to say. The soundtrack is amazing. Yeah. They do have this new feature that allows you to multiply your score. Like, it's called being in the zone. You just hit the trigger and it slows down. And you're able to, like, you know, have these crazy stacks, you know, like those.
Are you playing with headphones?
No. The audio coming out of the TV is totally fine. But that'll change next weekend when I really get an understanding of how it does surround sound. So I'm enjoying it, you know, easy to burn an hour or so, you know, I'm quickly going through it because you just, like, there's no back to the menu. You just keep on going through the game unless you quit out. But, like, once you beat a quote-unquote map, it'll take you to the next one immediately. And, like, it has this very subtle build-up. So, like, usually they start off, like, quiet. But when you begin to, you know, make combos, like, the music starts to pick up faster and faster and faster and, you know, gets super bombastic. And then once you beat it, it's quiet again. And then you build it back up. So it's a pretty therapeutic game, to be honest.
I wish it was crossplay so I could beat your ass in the game.
Wow.
It does have multiplayer, but it doesn't have Tetris 100 style multiplayer, which is bullshit.
I used to play Tetris Splash on the 360, which was 4-player.
Yeah, no, I had that game too. It came free with Live Arcade. It was great.
Did y'all know where the actual, like, term Tetris Effect came from? Have you heard of it before this?
Mm-mm.
So, the Tetris Effect, okay. Did you know the Tetris Effect is actually a phenomenon that happens with people who play a lot of Tetris? So they end up seeing patterns and shapes in the actual real world, and, like, their mind is, like, figuring out how to
flip
the shapes around and, like, basically organize things together. It's really crazy.
I'm pretty sure most people experience a Tetris Effect when they're trying to pack up a car for a trip or a vacation or something like that.
I feel like that's me. It's weird, like, interesting.
But that's what I've been playing.
Okay. Well, that looks like that's it for what we've been playing. Normally, we would jump to a word from our sponsors, which is usually some random thing. But today, instead, we are going to give a leg update.
What the hell is a leg?
Leg is the PlayStation League for Extraordinary Gentlemen update. You might be wondering, what is that?
So you think you're a gentleman?
I mean, depends on the day and the hour. Anyways, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is actually our fantasy game league that we started last week. If you missed this, you can check out the video on our YouTube channel and our Instagram channel. And basically, now that a full week has passed, there's been an update to the rosters that we have. So instead of actually just reading out all the games on our list, we're just going to real quick talk about the games that we bid on and actually got, and then, you know, what's our thinking or whatever. So as the one that's been talking the most, I'm going to go first. So the three games that I bid on and I got, because I guess no one really cared to get these, was The Gunk, Destruction All-Stars, and Little Devil Inside. So
I wanted that.
Yeah. Oh, did you bid for it?
No.
Or no? Okay. But so The Gunk, I bid on this because when we were doing the actual draft, I completely forgot about this game. And then I actually went back and looked and I was like, oh, this actually looks pretty interesting. So I think I bid like $1 on that.
$2.
Little Devil Inside. I got that because sort of the same thing. I thought it was cool. I kind of forgot about it during the actual draft, and then I bid on that, and I got that. Destruction All-Stars is a interesting one because I didn't really plan on bidding for this game. until they actually had a state of play that released this week, and it shocked me because I understood what that game was. The game's going to be free for PlayStation Plus people, and I think it has potential. It looks like it could be a possible like Rocket League kind of arena-based game kind of thing. So I don't know. So I end up bidding on that.
I'll let you know how fun it is next week.
That's true. I'm really hoping that it does well. Hoping. So that's pretty much it for my update. How about you, Sean?
Well, I tried to bid on Back for Blood, but got outbid by somebody. I also tried to bid on Ghostwire Tokyo, because I feel like that might get medium reviews, average reviews, you know, not super stellar.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I didn't bid on too much, because I can't think of anything that's going to get, like, super high marks necessarily. Yes, I mean, I didn't really bid on too much.
Okay. Jordan?
Well, I just made another bid.
Motherfucker.
<on a game. laughs> You know what? This time I'll disclose. I feel like disclosing this one.
You don't have to disclose it. Only because it's so long. So, I don't know. You know, one of us or Marcus could, you know, just drop like $30 to make sure that they get that game.
And
you
Dang. Get that
game. It's actually a good one, too. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to tell y'all about this one. Because I was thinking about it, I'm like, we totally forgot about that game, but we'll hear about it soon.
Okay.
Yeah, so next-gen Battlefield game. It's going on 3 years since Battlefield 5. EA gave DICE a second year to work on it because they wanted to release it last year with the new consoles, but, you know, the pandemic and all that. So people are saying we're probably hearing an announcement about Battlefield 6 sometime in spring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, usually they announce their games in March. So I added Battlefield, and it does feel like DICE is now able to focus all their efforts on it and not just between Battlefront 2 and Battlefield. Like, their studio is pretty much split in half. So EA is like, you know, this is our marquee first-person shooter, and, you know, it's the first-person shooter of the new generation that they're working on, and they're like, nah, we can't. So I put money on that for this fall. And also, like, the EA's fall schedule is currently barren. No Star Wars games. Only Madden is what EA has right now on the calendar.
That makes sense.
The next game was Humankind. If you're a Civilization fan, this has probably been on your radar for a minute. I've been following many of the gameplays of this. A lot of the streamers I watch that do Civilization, you know, they were given codes to the beta. It's a very new game. Like, this is not just basically all the things done in Civilization being done in this game. Like, there's deep cultural undertones.
Mm.
You have to focus on minority populations within your civilization. Really? Like, it's very deep. It's some things that weren't talked about or were not done in traditional Civilization games or those types of, you know, real-time strategy games that I'm like, all right, this might be good. And also Sega's doing it, I believe. I think Sega is publishing this one. Mm. But yeah, Humankind looks very fun. And I look forward to playing it myself. That comes out in March. I think out of all the games on my list, the riskiest that I don't know if I'm getting any points for is State of Decay 2.
3.
State of Decay 3.
Yeah.
Like, they had a teaser last year, but...
By the way, Humankind is published by Sega. It's made by Amplitude Studios.
Yeah, so, but published by Sega. Sega, did I say no, I'm different?
No. I'm just confirming. Just confirming. That's all. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, like, State of Decay 3 is, you know... Like, I've never been a big... I think, Donald, you've been a bigger fan of State of Decay games than I have. Yeah, so I played 2. I tried it. You know, it's just... I don't know. Like, I'm going to give it another shot.
Remember, we all have one free drop. So, you know, that...
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, like, we'll see what, because, like, there's no E3 this year. We'll see how Sony and Microsoft announce their first parties going forward, like, haphazardly or with big events or anything like that. But I think out of all of them, like, this one's kind of like, we don't know if it's coming out this year. But if it does, I think I'm getting at least an 8, because it's their third one. Yeah. So, and they've improved in quality after each iteration.
Okay.
And also, yeah, Ghostwire Tokyo, I've not been following this game a lot. I know a lot of people are talking about it. And I know that a lot. I know it's coming out on PlayStation, and PlayStation, you know, games get a good amount of privilege from the critics. I'm just like... But I mean, like, it's a PlayStation vehicle. And, yeah, we'll see how it does. And, like probably one of the last... Bethesda-produced games to come out first on PlayStation.
I think that's made by the same people that did Evil Within.
Yeah.
Or Evil Within series, whatever.
So, and yeah, lastly, Back for Blood. That was a huge Left 4 Dead mark. They're Left 4 Dead 1 and 2. I don't know if Back for Blood's coming out on console. I think it's only on PlayStation, only on a PC for now. Maybe port it over to consoles later.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, it looks amazing. You know, like, it's basically like, hey... If what's their face Valve doesn't want to make money anymore, we'll make money for them and make another like improper Left 4 Dead game, because Left 4 Dead was and still is amazing. So okay, that's what I have on my list. But you'll see next time around on Sunday when it drops again, you'll see.
Okay,
you'll see what I did.
I gotta figure out what my moves are gonna be now too, because. I think by this point, I will have... I'm running out of space, so I don't know. I'm probably going to wait, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Shot you a little early, did you?
Yeah, we'll see. All right, well, that is it for the leg update. With that, we will have a word from our sponsors. Pantyhose, sponsor us.
What's good, y'all? Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure that you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, and most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, then tell three people about the podcast. Could be strangers, friends, loved ones, hated ones, your Uncle Jim, I don't know. Every little bit helps. And after you've done that, please follow us on Facebook at PressX2Start. Instagram at PressX2Start, Twitter at PressX2S, and YouTube at PressX2StartTV. And if you've already done all this, well done. Platinum trophy achieved.
And we're back. So now it's time for the quick hits. Number one. This is the free games for February. On the PlayStation side, we have Destruction All-Stars, which comes out February, and that's for the PS5. Then for the PS4, we have Control Ultimate Edition and Concrete Genie. So that's cool. I will definitely be playing Control.
You also get a PS5 version for
Control. Oh, really? Oh, that's both sides. Both.
And this is one of the very few months that everybody is happy with all the games offered on Reddit, because they normally bitch and bitch and bitch.
Yep.
Yeah, Control is still on Game Pass, but with that update, you also get the
DLC,
the Series X. I don't think you get the DLC for it, but you will get the upgrade from Series X too. Because currently, there's a discount if you have Game Pass for Control's DLC, but it's not Control Ultimate. But you will get the upgrade though.
On the Xbox side, we have Gears 5 available from February 1st to the 28th, and we have Resident Evil, the first one. Available also from February 1st to February 28th. And then we have Dandara, Trials of Fear Edition, available February 16th through March 15th. And we have Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Tomb, available February 1st through February 15th. Then we have Lost Planet 2, available February 16th through the 28th. That's
So like that's the original Resident Evil game.
I think so. Yeah.
That is wild. I mean, like that's crazy that you ever play a game.
Nah, that might be the remastered jump that just came out.
I mean, I feel like they're doing this because of Resident Evil Village. So you know, it's kind of just keeping them in the.
Yeah, this ain't the original PS1 version that they're giving y'all for free. They did
remaster. I thought it was like that. I was like, damn, that's crazy.
Number two. Speaking of Resident Evil Village and terrible news. Actress Jeanette Maus?
Jeanette?
Is it Jeanette? All right.
Yeah, Jeanette.
Jeanette Maus.
Mm-hmm. There you go. She died at age 39. She was both an actress and a producer. Mouse. On-screen credits include Charm City Kings and My Effortless Brilliance. That. Yeah. She was also...
Meek Mill was in that movie.
Oh, really? So she was also the voice of one of the witch sisters in this new Resident Evil Village game. So, sad news. Number three, more sad news. This comes from PlayStation Lifestyle. Oh, that last article came from IGN. This PlayStation Lifestyle article, lead Horizon Dawn developer Mike Nash has passed away.
Mm-hmm.
A talented artist who was only 36 was Horizon Zero Dawn's lead principal designer. One of his
36 is young.
Yeah, like really young. Yeah, one of his colleagues, pretty much, you know, had like a lengthy Twitter thread, and then also included artwork that Nash created. So that sucks. And then more terrible news, but not as bad as the previous stuff. Sega confirms Sonic Hedgehog voice actor is departing from his role.
Jaleel White is not doing it no more.
No, it's actually Roger Craig Smith.
Roger Craig.
So, for over 10 years, Roger Craig Smith has been... This is a full statement from Sega. For over 10 years, Roger Craig Smith has been an integral part of the Sega family. He brought the voice of Sonic to life, and we are forever grateful for his never-ending enthusiasm in help the community in spreading joy. Thank you, Roger, for all you've done for Sonic.
I'm thinking about which Sonics I played within the last 10 years with a voice. I'm still playing Sonic Adventures. Like, those are still, like, my top Sonic games. Yeah. I haven't played any other games since Sonic Adventures.
No, you gotta check out Sonic Generations, my guy. It was actually pretty solid.
I've heard amazing about Generations and Colors, but, like, in terms of my timeline, I haven't played Sonic since Adventures.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think this is interesting news, because I think this is, you know, kind of showing that there might be a rebrand of something going on for...
We might talk about that later.
Yep.
In our conversation.
Oh, that's a good point. All right. Number five. This comes from Polygon. Lara Croft's two timelines will be unified, says Tomb Raider Studios. So official celebrations for Tomb Raider's silver anniversary will start February 1st, said Megan Marie, Crystal Dynamics community manager. Marie also pointed to the Tomb Raider Netflix animated series announced Wednesday, which I didn't know about.
That's going to be lit.
Yeah, which also threads into the official unified timeline. The Tomb Raider anime is set to... Tomb Raider anime, that sounds so weird to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's set after the events of the video game reboot trilogy, which comprises of 2013 Tomb Raider, 2015 Rise of Tomb Raider, and 2018 Shadow of the Tomb Raider. So, I think this is interesting. I kind of wonder what the games going forward will be like, if it's going to be like an extended universe, like tying all this.
So the original Tomb Raiders that came out on PlayStations was a Lara Croft that was more mature in her role.
Yeah, right,
while
right.
The reboots was her trying to, like, you know, find out their destiny, what her father was and all that. So yeah, the anime is going to bridge the gap, you know, and help express Lara as the, you know, globe trotting, art connoisseur slash, you know,
1%er.
Basically, I mean, she's never not been, but now she's like really gonna, you know, flex into that role and probably into more James Bond nonsense. But I don't know. It seemed like they wanted to do another reboot after Shadow of the Tomb Raider because of how it was received, not critically, but by the fans. So, like, yeah, this is, oh, you know, that timeline is still there, but now you're talking to Lara Croft 5 years later, which is a soft reboot, I guess.
Interesting. More interesting news, number six. This comes from G4 YouTube's channel. They just released a video titled Welcome the Return of Attack of the Show and X-Play in Summer 2021. In this video, they mention, you know, the greats will be returning, or your favorites will be returning. So I'm really hoping that this means Olivia Munn and Kevin Pereira are going to do Attack of the Show together, because...
Olivia the Crimson Chin Munn?
What?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, like, so they were saying that Olivia Munn and Kemper had like a weird falling out or something like that. I don't, like, it seemed during the Thanksgiving special they kind of, you know, reconciled themselves and they seemed more positive, and there was possibly a third party that soured their relations between each other, like a producer or something like that.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
I'm excited for it.
They did talk very openly about the G4 like production model and how it was just kind of like, yeah, you just got to do whatever. And then it didn't it seemed like it was kind of a semi-toxic environment. And so
they are getting a tremendous amount of funding. Oh, yeah. I follow their Instagram, and yeah, they're building a huge production studio. I don't know who they're partnered with, maybe with AT&T or something like that, but like they have a pretty big funder for this endeavor.
Yeah.
Pretty big project funder.
And I am excited for that. I guess more excitement. Number 7, this comes from Pure Xbox. IO Interactive believes its James Bond game could mark the start of a new trilogy. So this is kind of cool. I am a lukewarm James Bond fan. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I don't have the real history with the series that much. Like, I like the game. GoldenEye was fun. I'm interested to see what they do with this. I think Hitman as a series is pretty cool, but I never really glommed onto it because I always felt like if Agent 47 had a voice, he would be very alt-right. So,
what makes you say?
And like, I know nothing.
Why? Because he has a bald head?
I don't know. Like, I know nothing about this guy.
He's a walking computer. Like, he's like the perfect being. Or like the history of the Hitmans are like they know all knowledge. They are knowledgeable on mechanics.
Yeah.
Wine. They're just like these people that are bred to be superhumans. And at least going back to the IO story. James Bond post GoldenEye is checkered.
Yeah.
You have your Nightfires. You have your Agent Under Fire. Mm-hmm. You have maybe a movie tie-in somewhere there. But IO has done a solid job in proving that, okay, we can do a spy story via the Hitman format because they perfected the Hitman format. Like, you think about it. Maybe they're going to have a few combat sections, you know, because James Bond got to fight somebody.
Yeah.
But in reality of, like, immersing yourself in an area to get to your objective, that's what James Bond typically does. Like, he is an assassin for the British government. Mm-hmm. Like, that's who 007 is. So that's what I envision him being.
I definitely think, like, this is the best blending of studio with property. And I feel like this James Bond game, whenever it comes out, like, I'm actually going to keep my eye on it because I think it has a shot to be, like, really good, so we'll see. Number 8, this comes from PlayStation's Twitter account. Returnal has a new release date of April 30th, 2021. SIE and Housemarque have made the decision to move the release date in order to give the team extra time to continue to polish the game to the level of quality players expect from Housemarque. See you in April, says the Twitter post.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah, I mean...
Wait, who had Returnal on their thing? Okay, never mind.
Me.
Okay.
I'm just excited to play it, not even for
No,
the
but that's actually good, though, that, you know, that it took
the push away
versus coming out and not being of quality, because I feel like...
Ain't nobody trying to cyberpunk themselves anymore.
Exactly.
Ain't trying to hear it.
But, yeah, you know, so we'll see what happens on April.
Oh, damn. So that's... it was originally March 19th. Damn, so that's a month and 10 days. I guess.
It comes out closer to the Prince of Persia remaster, remake, accident, I guess.
He basically said it comes out closer to nothing.
Let's all laugh at Cameron.
Alright, so speaking of Cyberpunk, number 9, this comes from Kotaku. Cyberpunk 2077 removes mod that lets you ban Keanu Reeves. So this was a weird thing that, of course, you know, when PC players get their hands on the game, they tend to just go all wild with it and
crazy with it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, there's innocent things like turning all the dragons in Skyrim into Thomas the Tank Engines. And then there's this, like, there's clearly a range of behavior we're dealing with here. And this is on the other side of things.
Not great. Number 10, this comes from WCCF Tech. Death Stranding Extended Edition for PS5 and 4 inbound, insider suggest. So that's cool.
Make them bridges.
Sean, you gonna play Death Stranding again?
Hell yeah.
Sounds good.
How many bridges and gondolas? I've only watched like 20 minutes of gameplay video, but like, did you make those roads? I guess. How is your boot condition, baby?
I didn't go back to it just because the PS5 came out.
True.
But I mean, I have a whole backlog of new games, so I don't tend to go back to older games.
And you're making fun of me.
I'm not. I'm just saying, I typically... It's very rare that I go back to a like single player game unless I'm trying to platinum it, or you know, it's I'm playing a multiplayer game and it's just an ongoing thing.
Right.
But I'll definitely look into it depending on how much extra is in there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So with that being said, that is the end of the quick hits. Now it's time for the heavy hitters. And the first one up is Sean.
Man, so if you have been living under a rock, you probably have not heard that GameStop stock has skyrocketed and they're trying to take it to the moon.
Wait, it did what now?
So for those longtime listeners, you may remember that we were making fun of GameStop at the beginning of the pandemic because surely they were going to die. You know, the business model, they were already circling the drain to the point where they were selling other things other than games, like cell phones and tablets and Funko Pops. I think that might be their main moneymaker right now, that and used games, of course. But because of the pandemic, it kind of accelerated their, you know, death as a company. Jordan, for the longest, have been touting and, you know, promoting.
I wasn't promoting.
Not the death of the company, but people streaming video games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, downloading video games or what have you. Not actually going the physical route. And DJ, of course, loves digital games. So because of the pandemic, you know, everybody pretty much started getting digital games. So Wall Street pretty much did what they call shorters. Apparently, they were shorting the company over 140%. And some Redditors on the subreddit called Wall Street Bets noticed this and started snapping up the stocks. One in particular, username Deep Fucking Value, I think he either bought 50,000 shares worth or $50,000 worth of GameStop shares.
Bro. And turned into cool $11 million.
It is so wild.
Well, I think he has cashed in roughly about $13 million, but he still has another 30+ million in stock that he's holding.
That's amazing.
And for those who don't know, a quick rough and dirty, when you short a company, let's say the company is worth $10. Somehow, this should be illegal, by the way, you borrow the stock and sell the stock for, let's say, $9. You wait until the stock goes down to, let's say, about $2. You buy it back for $2. You have made $7 in this transaction. And you give the stock back to the original person that you borrowed it from.
That's valued at $2 now.
Because the original person just cares about their property. You've given back their property, and you've made money in the process. How you can sell something that's not yours, I don't understand.
Also, you don't have to pay the people back because the thing that the thing that you gave back to them is at a lower price.
Don't even look at the price aspect. Just look at it as, I took your property, it was worth one thing, I sold it, waited till the price went down to buy it back, and I gave you back your property.
Right. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Now, Redditors noticed that they were overshorting this company almost 140%, and it was once $3, and it had just skyrocketed to, the last I saw, was $483 per share.
Yep.
And this has caused the people who normally short companies in Wall Street, I want to say $70 billion so far, to the point where Robinhood, which was a, you know, has a lot of market share for the average, what they call retail investor, mm-hmm. which is people like you and me who don't normally, you know, trade stocks as a profession.
And then, like, the way they do their commercials is like, trade stock while you're stacking boxes. You know, it's like, that's a demographic.
I've never even seen a
I've seen
commercial them. For it.
Acorn but and, ultimately, and Robinhood did the same thing.
Ultimately, apparently Robinhood gets a lot of their funding from Wall Street, to the point that they said, hey, we're losing too much money. Robinhood froze trading on GameStop for the average retail investors, while the people who actually do it as a profession, you know, who have insider access, were able to still trade freely to try to recoup their money.
Also, there's reports that Robinhood was also selling people's shares at like the lowest.
Oh, yeah, they were selling them without their knowledge.
Consent, yeah.
It's just become a big thing. There's a class action lawsuit against them now. It has caused the unlikely collaboration or at least agreement between AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Ted Cruz, and a few other politicians and congressmen, stating that, you know, we need to see what the hell is going on.
Even, Ben Shapiro said some shit or whatever. I don't fucking care.
Well, yeah. I mean, it kind of changed the tone of some other congresspeople that she would have expected to be on our side. Like, I think Elizabeth Warren had a contradictory statement saying that we should regulate things more now that people that are calling for regulation in this instance are in many ways hypocritical because, you know, this is, as Sean said, something that's been done for a long period of time now, but now it's just the layman's doing it, and now they're like, no, we need regulation. This can't happen. What about the housing market? What are we going to do?
Yeah, and a lot of people are trying to screw over the shorters because they haven't learned their lesson from the 2008 crash, and they're still pretty much doing the same thing. Not much to add other than they're trying to take the stock to $1,000. And if you're listening, don't try to get in on this if you don't understand what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of
people... What are you talking
about?
I refinanced my house.
A lot of people are trying to join Robinhood and Webull and, you know, what is it? Sink or swim, whatever the hell.
Lose all your money.
To try to get in on the craze, and it's not going to work out the way you think it's going to. You're going to be left holding the bag, unfortunately. Some people think this is a good investment or investment strategy. It's not.
I've seen my friends list go, like, what's up with this GameStop thing? I'm not saying anything. I'm just looking. I'm like,
So I actually, last year, like, on, I think, funny enough, kind of funny podcast, Greg Miller was talking, and they were happening to talk about the GameStop stock dropping so low, and that kind of had me look into it to see, like, oh, what's going on here?
Why ain't you saying that to us, DJ? You tall giraffe.
It was literally a thing where I was just like, yeah, let me talk to my wife real quick, figure out like if she's okay with it. So we ended up like getting like a couple of shares of GameStop or whatever, and it was one of those things where like I just kind of said it and forgot about it, and then for it to come up, it's like, oh, interesting. So
hey,
I just kind of sit here along for the ride. But it's one of those things where like I actually jumped onto Wall Street Best to see like what's going on, and they refer to themselves as the R word, and it's one of those things where like it's it's so it has the pangs of like boy talk or the
locker
the
guy. Room talk.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, if they weren't talking about stocks, like this would be really fucking suspect. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where I'm just reading the stuff and just kind of seeing where their head's at. And yeah, they're trying to hold until the stock hits 1,000.
Diamond hands hold, paper hands fold.
And it's just like, it's crazy to watch and actually see. Because I also believe that they got like another 2 million followers from the time this started to like now or something like that. And
it has actually got all of America talking about investing now.
Mm-hmm.
I actually made like $100-some off of AMC stock because it's tumbling over to other stocks as well.
Yeah. So they're doing this for AMC, BlackBerry, and GameStop. And then on the crypto side, they're actually also touting, or they're actually trying to push the Dogecoin as well to.
Doge,
yeah,
is how it's pronounced.
Yeah.
And speaking of setting and forgetting and cryptocurrency, an update from last week, in which I thought I was about to go quit my job because I had Bitcoin from 2014 because apparently somebody on Reddit was giving out Bitcoin just because, just to enhance adoption, accelerate adoption of, you know, cryptocurrencies. And I loaded up my Bitcoin wallet and it said +7. And man, I thought I was rich for all of an hour last week. I thought I had 7 whole Bitcoin because each Bitcoin right now is worth about $30,000 to $35,000, depending on the day and hour. I thought I had almost $250,000. I went on Tesla's website. I started configuring me a car. I was ready to go pick that shit up Monday. But when the app finally caught up with itself, because it has to synchronize with the, you know, the server and all the transactions were going on. Now I only have 0.007 Bitcoin, which came out to about $240. Had to cancel my order. I had to call Elon Musk and cancel my order.
I'm sorry, Musk, but I won't be able to pick up the car today. I'm sorry.
Just keep it on hold for me, buddy. But that's it about GameStop. This is not financial advice, as they would say.
Yeah, yeah. We're not financial advisors, and we don't advise you to do anything we said other than like, subscribe, and follow our podcast. Jordan.
What's up?
What's going on with you? How you doing?
Oh, no, I'm doing good. Yeah, so next heavy hitter, we have Microsoft, a company that is valued appropriately in the trillions of dollars, is going through another acquisition. At the size and magnitude of Bethesda.
Well, the rumor is that
there's a rumor, but you know, not Matt Booty. Phil Spencer is going on the record saying like, no, we're not done yet. Hold on, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished. Whoa! And if there's any indication about them and their solvency in terms of cash, Game Pass is now up to 18 million subscribers. And the last time they assessed how many subscribers they had was back in October. So that was basically 1 million subscribers a month in terms of increase. That's with no first party games added to it. That's with, you know, no major releases associated with Game Pass. Just people are starting to understand its, you know, overall value and, you know, signing up for the service. And Microsoft is confirming that they made enough in profit in the last 3 months to pay for the Bethesda acquisition twice. That
is fucking bonkers.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That also takes into account their hardware sales too. They're doing fairly successfully in terms of Series X and Series S acquisitions. You know, the problem is with both consoles, PlayStation and Xbox, is that there's a supply problem, not so much a demand problem. So
yeah, they said that's going to go until spring at least, unfortunately.
So if you're one of the lucky ones to have it, good for you. But yeah, no, Microsoft is treating their subscription service like HBO, Netflix, Prime, Hulu treat theirs, and also Disney, to which it is a bit of a hoarding game of specific studios and partnerships that are going to draw eyes. And they're like, you know, we're not going to say they're not going to give any room for other people, but they're like, all right, Amazon and Google can totally make these moves if we don't do it ourselves. They can totally, you know, try to.
Yeah, I would rather it be in the hands of Microsoft or Sony versus Apple and Google.
Yeah, well, they've proven that. And on the Microsoft side, your ability to obtain the Game Pass is very democratic. You know, like, you do not require a Xbox Series X or an Xbox Series S to experience Game Pass, you know, privileges. Because, like, they're coming out with the Game Pass stick or whatever the hell it's going to be, or the Game Pass app for smart televisions. It's on your phone. It can be streamed to your PC. So, like, there are all these methods of attaining Game Pass. And, like, when Phil Spencer said, we're going to have 3 billion users, like, you know, kind of like trying to Facebook his shit, trying to have the same type of coverage as Netflix, they mean it, you know, like, especially if you put the phone portion in the conversation, because a lot of those users might be people that own smartphones that are streaming their games through it with the, you know, Razer attachments and stuff like that.
Well, competition is good. I really hope this forces Sony to accelerate or revamp their PS Now, you know, service or something similar to compete. I don't mind if they don't put their AAA games on there, but it would be nice if they do something similar.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of what publisher they're going for, people have been saying that Microsoft has been trying to go for a Japanese publisher for a long period of time. We know that Konami's having their restructuring, and now Sega's having their restructuring. I think on the Sega side of things, Sega put all of Yakuza's inventory, except for 6, which came out of Series X first, but all their inventory on Game Pass.
Yeah.
And also, there are many Dreamcast Sega games on Xbox Live Arcade, on Xbox Live Marketplace. Like, Crazy Taxi's on there, Sonic Adventure's on there. All those random-ass Sega games can be found on Xbox Live. So
I love Crazy Taxi.
I was just playing it yesterday. It still slaps. But it's kind of like, when people say, oh, not Sega, I'm like, I don't know. I think there's a relationship there for it to be Sega.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they already had cultivated a relationship when the first Xbox came out. They had a bunch of different shit come on there, like Jet Set Radio Future and all that.
Mm-hmm. Now, I hear you guys when you say Sega and how that it's very likely that this could be the next company that Microsoft grabs. But what if that is just a partnership? And what if Microsoft sets their eyes on Capcom?
Possibly. Mm. Possibly.
Street Fighter? Yeah, they may.
I was more so thinking about Resident Evil.
I don't know. That might be harder because Capcom, I don't know. Capcom is going to be a more difficult grab than Sega because technically Sega is based in Hawaii. People don't know that, but.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I just looked it up. It's weird.
They're in Hawaii?
They're in Honolulu. But,
interesting.
Yeah, Capcom might be more difficult than Sega, in my opinion.
Yeah. I guess I'm looking at in terms of what's the lowest amount of money they can get for the highest amount of IPs that they can, you know, that are relevant.
I mean, Sonic, between those two companies, Sonic is one hell of a get. Sonic, I mean, like, even though Sonic has been like a checkered past, to be honest.
That's the thing, though. Like,
Sonic is like, it's also like that family game, too. And Microsoft doesn't have like that family dynamic.
But like game. The gameplay of Sonic has been aged out of how people play.
It doesn't matter. People get excited every time and get let down every time. Like, they're willing to come back.
Sonic
every
Heroes
time.
Was fucking trash after Sonic Boom, but they still were like, yo, Sonic Heroes though, right?
But
like,
it doesn't.
When Sonic Heroes came out, don't worry, I mean, I still believe Sonic Heroes was trash. But yeah,
I'm like, just talking about like sales.
Sonic
numbers,
fans
though.
Is kind of like Mega Man fans. They just no matter what, they'll be there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I have the nostalgia for Sonic, but as far as I know, like I haven't played a game that was just like, oh, this is really good. I mean, it's just hard.
They need to give it up. They need to get it off of Sonic Team, just like they need to get Pokemon away from Game Freak and just give it to Nintendo to actually develop.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with that. I feel like, I mean, I definitely think Sonic has a potential of being a like hit again. It's just, they just have to figure out what to do with that style of gameplay and how to visualize Sonic as a current gen property. And I don't know. That's for people who are way smarter than me to figure out.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're saying that we will find out by the end of the year. What Microsoft's focusing on right now is just finishing up the acquisition of $7 billion because, the government has to come in and make sure that this is fine. No trickery is going on. Right. But I think once the acquisition of Bethesda occurs, we will have a better understanding of what that means on whether or not these titles will be available on other consoles going forward. I mean, like, ones being published by Microsoft Studios via Bethesda will be, like, it'll be more concrete about the next Doom, the next Wolfenstein, the next Dishonored, you know, the next Elder Scrolls.
What if they just throw down for Take-Two?
No one can. Take-Two is too big.
No, I'm not with that.
I mean, like, Not like Microsoft couldn't, but they wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, that would be fucking bananas.
That would be ridiculous, yeah.
But Tencent might do it, though. Mm. But we won't notice a damn thing. Because Tencent's going to do the same microtransaction shit they're doing right now.
Okay. I got one last thought. It's going to be a leap, but you got to follow me on this. Konami.
Easy.
Konami right now is
the lowest value out there.
Yeah, it's lowest value. It's slowly pulling away from
Pachinko machines, that's what they do.
Well, I was going to say pulling away from like gaming, game development. And I feel like Metal Gear Solid would be a big title for them to get. But I also feel like there might be some backdoor talking between Sony and Konami to get that property because Sony got Kojima. So yeah, I think that would be interesting.
To buy it back before the acquisition.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about, in the other Konami games, I can't really put any to my brain right now, to my thought, but yeah. If Microsoft did acquire Konami, I don't see Metal Gear Solid being a part of it, but Sony wouldn't. I think it would be a backdoor deal to which Sony negotiates with Microsoft for a certain amount of money for Metal Gear during that process. Like, we'll take Konami, we'll give you Metal Gear for $500 million or something like that, and keep it moving.
So you asked what games Konami has, and I did a quick little cursory search, and I have them for you. Konami has PES Football.
Nice.
PES stands for Pro Evolution.
Yes, yes.
Soccer, essentially. So when I say football, I mean soccer. PES has
FIFA.
Konami has Silent Hill. Konami has Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links. Let's go.
I actually like that game.
Konami has Contra. And as I said, Metal Gear before. Konami also has the heavy hitter, Jordan, the heavy hitter, Frogger. And they also have a little game called Super Bomberman R. So they have properties that will not do well. So let's just undo the whole Konami thing.
If Microsoft acquires Sega, Master Chief's going to be in Smash Brothers.
Wait, what?
if they acquire Sega with the Sonic licensing, because Sonic's currently in Smash Brothers, mm-hmm. have Master Chief in there throwing plasma grenades and shit like that.
I mean, it's rumored, not Master Chief, it was Doom Guy. So I don't know.
Yeah, we'll Doom see. Guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Come yeah, on.
We'll see. We'll see
Doom
what
Guy would have been great.
Yeah.
I still believe Doom Guy.
Well, we have some time to figure it out because this is all speculations. And until then, this has been another episode of Press X Star Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoy making it. Don't forget to rate reviews on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit counts. In case you missed all this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressx2start.com. Also, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. All you have to do is go to pressx2start.com/YouTube. And then, once you're done with that, you can follow us at the Fantasy Critic League. And all you have to do there is go to pressx2start.com/league. So after you did all that, give a round of applause for yourself because you are amazing and we appreciate your service. Until next time. Peace.
I'm going to go play some Gundam.
Fuck you.